You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
A well-informed democratic society needs all the best information available. Science provides much of that best evidence, yet the Harper government is focused on eliminating scientific institutions that might provide information which contradicts a political objective or ideology. Last Friday, scientists rallied in Victoria to protest the Harper government's cuts to scientific programs. To talk about the rally and its objectives, we're joined by Ken Wu from the organization Majority for Sustainable Society. Good morning, Ken, and welcome to Vancouver Co-op Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
What scientific institutions are being defunded?
Well, there's basically two types of efforts that the Harper Conservatives are undertaking to undermine science in Canada. One of them is to gut the scientific research institutions and programs that uncover scientific evidence, the research wing, and then the second is to stop the information flow of science into the public sphere, which informs people and which can, you know, lead to environmental laws and regulations as people demand that people's health and the environment be protected. So some of the examples of the first of the research programs and institutions that are being gutted includes end of funding to the Canadian Foundation of Climate and Atmospheric Science. The government eliminated the Adaptation Research Group within Environment Canada, that's the Climate Adaptation Group. There were cuts to ozone monitoring, closure of the Polar Environment Atmospheric Research Lab in Eureka, which is a climate change research group, and end to the world-renowned Experimental Lakes area near Kenora. They eliminated the Marine Contaminants Program within the Department of Fisheries and Oceans. There's been a loss of many scientists within Natural Resources Canada to study ice cores data in the Arctic. They ended many of the monitoring programs for smokestack emissions. They've cut back to the Canadian Oil and Gas Research Group. There's been a lot of funding research cuts in Environment Canada, DFO, Library and Archives Canada, the National Research Council, Statistics Canada, the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada. I mean, the list goes on and on the research side. On the impeding of scientific evidence side, so essentially stopping the information flow into the public sphere, one of the big things they did is they shut down the National Roundtable on the Environment and the Economy, which was an arm's-length advisory body that provided independent advice on environmental protection and economic development. They failed to renew the National Science Advisor in 2008, and there's just been so many instances of the government censoring or impeding access to government scientists for the media, stopping the media from accessing government scientists, and preventing government scientists from speaking up.
Well, let's come back to the dissemination of information shortly, but that list of research institutions being defunded is overwhelming.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually, and you know, this is unprecedented in Canada. There was a period in the United States under George W. Bush where there was a massive defunding of scientific research institutions as well, but nobody thought that the same sort of thing would have happened in Canada. But apparently, according to Dr. Andrew Weaver, you know, the scale of it is actually much greater in Canada now.
These institutions aren't limited to just climate or atmospheric research as one might assume, given the kind of anti-climate change action orientation of the Harper government.
Yeah, like climate change certainly is, because fossil fuels and the essentially big oil runs the Harper government. I'd say climate change certainly is a large driver of their anti-science and anti-environmental monitoring initiatives, but it's broader than that in a couple ways. One of them is that the government, in general, is a government of austerity. They do want to cut spending when it comes to areas that they don't agree with. And it's not just climate change, but they've also cut spending on other areas of environmental protection and environmental monitoring. So you can see it's true when it comes to marine contaminants, you know, within marine ecosystems. A lot of the freshwater research, the Experimental Lakes area, is largely looking at toxicity in aquatic ecosystems as well. Ozone monitoring, that's not ozone up in the atmosphere, but the effects of ozone pollution, like we don't, we need ozone high above, but down below we don't. It can actually be damaging to plants, it could be damaging to human health. So it's broader than just climate change, but I'd say climate change definitely is the big area that the government has been working to cut.
Well, what is the significance of this cut to, you mentioned, the Experimental Lakes area?
The Experimental Lakes area, my understanding is that there were 80 lakes where they were studying a variety of things, but essentially the finding out what the impacts are of different types of toxic chemicals and contaminants in aquatic ecosystems and in a variety of organisms, as well as looking at the effects of climate change on freshwater ecosystems as well. It was an area that was renowned by scientists around the world as something fairly unique, actually, and an incredible contribution to scientific knowledge to have 80 lakes that they had invested a lot of time and energy and effort to create data sets over decades. So, and it was peanuts in terms of how much that whole system costs to maintain. So it was pretty ridiculous to cut. I don't have the exact amount on me, but I remember seeing it, and it was like a very, very minor amount if you look at, you know, how much government has spent on other initiatives, you know, like the fighter jets.
Tell me, with the dissemination of scientific information being impeded, you mentioned coercion of government scientists. Tell me more about that.
Well, the instances that are, I think, are best known are around scientists when it comes to climate change, of course. Now, that has also happened in other realms, but the ones that certainly have made the news have been around climate change, where essentially many of the scientists within Natural Resources Canada and in other sectors have been not allowed to speak unless they pass by their statement through a public relations person. And that public relations person has been given orders to not allow for scientists to really show the gravity of climate change and speak about the measures needed, the gap between what's needed to tackle climate change and what existing policies are. So essentially, everything has had to be funneled through PR people. If they were going to speak, and in many cases, you know, there's been a blanket ban.
There was a rally in Victoria last Friday. Speakers included UVic scientist Andrew Weaver, who you mentioned, and Green Party leader Elizabeth May. What in particular did Professor Weaver talk about?
Well, Dr. Weaver, of course, he's a specialist on climate change, and he had spoken a lot about how there's been a lot of cuts to research in the realm of climate change, but he also compared it to what happened under George W. Bush in the United States, and you know, basically mentioned that the cuts here are actually significantly deeper, how we need an evidence-based decision-making process where it's not just the ideology of the politicians ruling the country that determines the type of decision-making, but any evidence that comes forward needs to inform and result in many cases a modification in modifying the decisions of the government. So instead of an ideology-based decision-making process, we need one that's based on evidence. And essentially what the government's been doing is working in any way possible to undermine democracy, so the role of people in shaping government decisions, or eliminating science in shaping government decisions, and also in eliminating the flow of scientific information into the public sphere, so you get a more informed public that is also armed with scientific facts that allow for the coming together of democracy and science to shape government decisions. The whole thing is, whole point is to mix that. So that was essentially, he brought in both the democracy theme and a science theme. I'd like to point out that one of the most interesting things about the rally is that you rarely get scientists coming out to protest. But under these circumstances, I think there's been enough recognition in the scientific community that unless people start speaking up, you're going to see a highly impoverished society. A modern, advanced, democratic society needs evidence-based decision-making. It needs the environmental monitoring for our individual health, for the planetary health, absolutely needs the basic research to advance, to have a more advanced society and a healthier planet.
Now, when you say there needs to be more, that the government is kind of appears ready to do away with the emphasis on scientific-based decision-making, of course, that is ruling out public science. It's not ruling out private research.
Yeah, and see, the private sector is going to continue doing a lot of research, obviously, but there's not much money when it comes to the private sector in doing the basic climate change research. In the private sector, the research is going to be connected to somehow being able to generate revenues and make a profit. The importance of the public sphere in doing the research is that it doesn't have to be linked towards profitability, so that way you can get all sorts of monitoring of the effects of toxicity on river otters in lakes, or you can look at the marine contaminants on a whole host of organisms that may not have any economic value directly, and on basic climate change, what's going on in terms of the atmosphere, which is not necessarily linked to any particular industry. So that's it's in the universities where that is still going on, but their funding, is over time being cut. But in the government is where you've seen the largest cuts.
I understand that a government scientist attended the rally in disguise.
Oh yes, that's right. That was actually a bit of a surprise to me. It was actually Elizabeth May knew this fellow, and he works for government and does contracts for government on marine contaminants, and so he put up a mustache and a beard. It wasn't a very good disguise because it almost fell off. But anyways, he spoke about how government scientists have to be very careful right now about what they say. They may not necessarily get fired right away, but it limits opportunities in the future, especially with a very politicized type of scientific institutions these days, who are, where government's looking carefully at seeing who might be a pain in the ass or not.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ken.
Hey, thanks for having
me. It's been a pleasure. I've been speaking with Ken Wu. Ken is an environmental activist with MASS, Majority for a Sustainable Society. And you can find out more information on their and how to get involved on their website, massmovement.ca.